It's a song that came to my heart this morning. I just wanted to praise the Lord with. Elected to be born. I've sang it before. I just wanted to just make a joyful noise to the Lord Jesus this morning. Whom God did foreknow, He predestinated. The predestinated, them He also called. Whom He called, He justified. The justified, He's glorified. As the elected, the seed of God. Oh, elected to be born, elected to be born, elected way back in the back part of God's mind. Elected to be born. We were elected to be born. Elected before the world began. To be born of God's Spirit. Almighty God declare of Jeremiah, said before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, I called you, sanctified, and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Oh, elected to be born, elected to be born, elected way back in the back part of God's mind. Elected to be born. You were elected to be born. Elected before the world began. To be born of God's Spirit. With infinite wisdom and foreknowledge, God ordained an end time bride. Written epistle that's read of all men. She's filled with His Spirit. She's life of His life. She loves and adores Him. She's the glory of God. Please sing it with me. Elected to be born. Elected to be born. Elected way back in the back part of God's mind. Elected. I was elected. I was elected to be born. Elected before the world began. To be born, just one more time. Oh, elected to be born.
Elected back in the back part of God's mind. Elected to be born. You were elected. Born, elected for the world began to born of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother James, for that. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand and sing. Within my soul, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you, to feel your heart and know your mind. Looking in your eyes stirs up within me. Christ, to say I want to. I want to know you more. And just the time I feel that I've been caught in the mire of self. And just the time I feel my mind's been bought by worldly wealth, that's when the breeze begins to blow. I know the Spirit's call, and all my worldly wanderings just melt into His love. Oh, I want to know you more. Deep within my soul, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you, to feel your heart and know your mind. Looking in your eyes stirs up within me, Christ, to say I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you more. And when my daily deeds ordinarily lose life and song, my heart begins to bleed, sensitivity to Him is gone. I've run the race but set my own pace and face a shattered soul. But the gentle arms of Jesus quench my thirsty to be whole. Oh, I want to know you more. Deep within my soul, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you, to feel your heart, know your mind. Looking in your eyes stirs up within me, Christ, to say I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you. I want to know you more. Deep within my soul, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you, to feel your heart and know your mind. Looking in your eyes stirs up within me, Christ, to say I want to know. I want to know you more. every step, Lord God. Oh, Lord, help us praise your name. Amen. I want to see us, Jesus. I know the time is near when everything that I hold dear will lay before the holy consuming fire. All my works and all my deeds and every prayer set on my knees will lay before the holy consuming fire. All I want to see is Jesus, yes, Lord. All I want to see is Him in me. All I want to see is Jesus shining through me. Hurt and self-inflicted pain and everything I thought I gained will lay before the holy consuming fire. Words of knowledge in His name and healing hands that touch the lame will lay before the holy consuming fire. All I want to see is Jesus. All I want to see is Him in me. All I want to see is Jesus shining through me. And hear Him say, well done, my precious one. Well done, well done, my faithful one. All I want to see is Jesus. All I want to see is Him in me. All I want to see is Jesus shining through me. All I want to see is Jesus. Yes, Lord. All I want to see is Him in me. All I want to see is Jesus shining through me. Yes, shining through me. Yes, Lord Jesus. Let that be our prayer, Lord. Shine through us, Lord Father. This age is so dark. People need to see you. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh, He's my provider. You are more than enough for me. Yes, Lord. Jehovah Rapha, You're my healer. By Your stripes I have been set free. Jehovah Shammah. Oh, you are with me. You supply all of my needs. You are more than enough, so much more than enough. You are more than enough for me. Let's sing that again as Brother Charles comes. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. By your stripes I have been set free.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, our Creator, the Author and Finisher of our faith, Lord, may your name be exalted above all other names. Please, the Lord, at the mentioning of your name, all knees shall bow and all tongues shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father God, we are resting upon that promise to declare your name.
Yes.
Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord and Savior,
yes,
of mankind. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We worship your holy name. We thank you, Father God, for bringing us into your house this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the favor, Lord, to believe your word. We do not have anything in us that is good that could make us to believe. Lord Jesus, it's your grace.
Yes.
By grace we are saved through,
yes,
faith.
Yes.
Not by our works, not by anything that is good about us. We are heathens to begin with. God, you came to our way and Lord brought your salvation to us. Therefore, God, we are here today in appreciation of what you did for us on the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and we are resting upon the works that you did. Lord, you resurrected. You ascended up into heaven. You came and filled the believers. Lord Jesus, you said you will be with us even unto the end of the age. We are resting upon the promise that, Lord, we are more than conquerors this morning. We are on the winning side of the,
yes,
battle. We thank you, Father. Lord, may every sick be healed in our midst, Lord. Those that are depressed, Lord, may they be relieved.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, may you encourage, Lord, those who are discouraged, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you, Father. We even remember our pastor, Brother Elijah,
yes,
Father God, who the enemy is tormenting with sickness. Oh, Father, we pray, oh God, you are the healer of all our diseases. You are the one that's more than able to solve all our problems. Father, we pray and remember him that you, Lord Jesus Christ, extend your hand of healing upon him. God, may you bring comfort to him, Lord Jesus Christ. May he come the next service, Lord, and stand at the post of duty, Father. May your name be glorified in his life. May this little flock, Father God, flourish in your name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn
Bibles. Good morning, friends. I'm so happy to be among you this morning. Let's turn to Psalm 103. We'll read just a few verses and then we can sit down. Psalm 103. I read from verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. May the Lord bless us as we hear. Let's sit down. Praise the Lord. This morning we will speak on demonology. The prophet of God, Brother William Branham, read this passage and preached the message, demonology. And that is going to be my topic this morning. We first define what a demon is. A demon means a tormentor. Yes. That is an enticing spirit. The demon is one that brings setback. It causes the deprive the believers from their divine benefits. And what we are supposed to enjoy, they come around us to deprive us from our peace, from our joy, from the riches of that God has put in the kingdom of God, and who also he put on earth that we should benefit from. Demons come to deprive us from what God has given to us as our privileges, as our opportunities, as our rights. And sometimes demons can cause you to be in ignorance. And sometimes one of the objectives of this teaching this morning is to help us to understand the devil, who is our enemy. Amen. And so when we are informed and when we are well equipped with information, we will be able to fight our enemy. Yes. And in the warfare, like a military, when they are going out to fight, first they will calculate all the equipment that they need to fight. They will also calculate the information. The people who are set aside for military information, that they will be able to look at what the enemy is doing, what the enemy has, and who he is. So we saw also that Moses, being a warrior, a great warrior, at a particular point in time, he selected 12 men from the 12 tribes of Israel, who were, you know, leaders among the other tribes, to go out and spy. That was to get information about the enemy. So that is why it's important for us to have information about who our enemy is, to know who the enemy is, and to understand what his skills are and what he has, his powers, so we will be able to fight the battle. So like even officers, for example, police officers, they are there to also protect information about nation and also protect life and properties. So security, also we are security people. We must be conscious of the fact that we are at the battlefield and we have enemies that are fighting against us, and we must not be ignorant about the devices of the enemy. And so the scripture says that we must not be ignorant at all. We have to be informed. We have to know who we are, and we have to know who we are fighting against. If we do not know that we have an enemy, you may be complacent and you may take things for granted, and in the end, the enemy will sweep you off from your feet without you knowing it. So you have to understand that you are a target for the devil. And with this teaching, we will also understand that our brothers and sisters are not our enemies. The devil is our enemy. And he is our adversary. He is the accuser of the brethren. And when we know our real enemy, the battle becomes easier for us. When we have adequate information, when we are well informed, like when the medical doctors, before they could be qualified to go and do surgery or to go and operate on people or do administer medications to people, they have to be trained for a long period of time. So other people go for college degree for 3 years, 2 years, but for a medical doctor, because you're able to deal with life, they spend more years so that they will be trained and have adequate information so that they will be able to handle the lives that they will be entrusted in their life, in their hands. They have to do surgeries and they have to diagnose sicknesses. They have to also administer drug medications to people. So they have to be informed. They should be very much alert before they could do their jobs. And so even when they qualify from the college, they have to train under a professional licensed doctor who will be able to observe them when they are doing things and will be able to examine them, after which then they will be allowed now, they'll be fully certified to go and operate on their own. So this is all to lay foundation about the need for us to have information, for us to understand what we are to do. Because if they make a mistake, they could even lose their license, and some of them could even go to prison because they did not follow the procedure right. And some people can even go to war. Military people can be sent to war who did not pay attention to the training well. They will go and do something wrong, and some of them, when they come home, they could be tried by the military and they could be sent to prison because they did not pay attention when they were going through training. And so we sometimes, as believers, we get into trouble because we do not have adequate training on the word. And there is our greatest authority we have is the word of God. It's the simplest weapon we have. That's what Christ left with the church, the word of God. And so every believer, whether you are a woman or you are a man, you don't have position in church or you don't have position in the society, whoever they may look at, one thing you should be resting on is the word of God. Amen. That's what is your weapon everywhere you go. When you go to work, your word of God, the word of God is what you use. When you go out, you are away from your family, the word of God is what you use. Joseph was away from his family as a little boy. You know, there was no scripture book that he was hanging, because even the way he left his family was a very, very weird condition. So they had to sell him to the Ishmaelite, and the Ishmaelite sent him to the, Potiphar, and all the rest of it. But there was one thing I discovered about Joseph, that he hid the word of God in his heart. And because he hid the word of God in his heart, every time he will confront a difficult situation, the enemy will come his way. He will use the word of God to handle it. He used the word of God to protect the gift that God gave him. You know, the gifts that we have, we are born with our gifts. But the gifts can be polished by the word of God. And the gift that we have can be guided by the word of God. Your gift will be destroyed by the devil if you do not allow the word of God to polish it or to guide it. Amen. So the devil here, that was just laying the foundation for our teaching. The devil has his own fallen angels that work with him. The devil himself was one of the angels. He did not have that name. God did not give it to him in the creation. The name God gave to him was Lucifer. He was in charge of worship in heaven. And that is even why, even today, his greatest desire is to be worshipped. He knows what is worship. And he plotted against God because he wanted to take over the entire system of worship. That's why today you see that the music industry, he is dominating it. Because music, the people are worshiping through music. That's why you don't despise it. When you are listening to any music, know that you are participating or you are worshiping alongside with that musician. If the spirit that is on that musician, if it's Michael Jackson, the demon that was in him, when he's singing his song and, you know, dancing and thereafter, if you play his music in your house and listen to it, you are participating to support the demon that was in Michael Jackson. Praise the living God. So that is why you must know that Michael Jackson had a gift that God gave him. But he submitted that gift to the devil. So how the devil cut his life short in the end. So the devil targets gifted people. And he wants to get a hold of your gift and use it to promote his own kingdom. He had a desire to build his own kingdom. He rebelled against an established kingdom to form his own kingdom. Lucifer was his name that was given to him in the beginning. He was one of the greatest angels. Michael was another angel, you know, and even now Michael is in charge of warfare. And Gabriel was another angel. So, but Lucifer, that name that God gave him, he lost it, and he now the name that we call him in the scripture, we call him now a Satan or devil. I'm going to tell you here the definition of what a Satan is by scripture and what a devil is by the scripture. Hebrew word for Satan means adversary. It also means to show enmity to. It also means one who plots against another. And it also means to obstruct. That's why the devil came. His objective is to kill and to destroy. So if you are a destroyer, you are possessed by Satan. Or Satan is on you. Because God doesn't destroy. God doesn't destroy properties. God doesn't destroy life. God doesn't destroy. God is not. Jesus Christ came on the earth to give life. Life in abundance. So the Satan is means to obstruct. And the devil is from a Greek word which means diabolos. Which it means slanderous. Is one who slander and is an accuser of the brethren. A castro is unjustly criticizing to hurt another. That's what a devil is. So now Lucifer is being described now in the scripture as Satan, and he is also the devil. But under him, he has demons that work for him. And those demons fell alongside with him. He persuaded them. He plotted against God. And he was able to convince certain angels, and they fell alongside with him. And those angels that were fallen, they are now on assignment to possess people or to even torment other people. Now we who are believers, we are not possessed by the devil anymore. The demons cannot possess a true born-again Christian. But demons can torment a true born-again Christian through sickness or through worries and through anxieties. All kind of things. They can come in your family and torment you. But they don't possess you. But they can come around you to torment you. So we know that those who are possessed by the devil, they are not yet delivered. They have not got their deliverance yet. They are in the kingdom of the devil. But we who are on the other side, we who are in the kingdom of God, let's also know that we are saved. But still, the devil has not given up on us yet. He is still fighting hard to get a hold of us and to, you know, destroy our salvation, or to, you know, help make us to lose our privileges that we have on earth here. And the devil is our greatest enemy. The devil, a targeted, a gifted man called Samson. And the prophet taught us that Samson, he gave his gift to God, but he gave his heart to the devil. Yes. The one thing that happened there was that when he made that mistake, God couldn't allow a true predestinated seed of God to go to hell. He couldn't allow that. God restored him into his kingdom, but he paid for that mistake which he did by giving himself to the devil. That's why there must be a boundary between believers and unbelievers. It's not discrimination, it's not segregation, but there must be a boundary. You must have your limits, you must have lines that you should draw. We must also teach our children how to say no to certain people, how to make choices, how to resist the enemy. We are not teaching them to discriminate against people or to be disrespectful, but we are teaching them that they are being targeted by demons, and we ourselves, even as adults, we are being targeted by the devil. And so they should not make a mistake. When people are around them, we should teach them by the word of God how to discern Satan and how to discern demons on people. Somebody is acting weird and funny around you, you have the word of God to discern what is on them. And somebody is trying to get you into doing something that is wrong, you can discern it by the word of God that this thing is against the word of God. So this person that's trying to promote the kingdom of darkness to me is possessed by the devil, or demon is upon this person. So you can use the word of God with wisdom to resist the devil. But something here, his parents taught him that he should not even marry to unbelievers. He taught him all the ethics of the scripture. But he saw this beautiful girl and he said, oh, well, because the girl was talking to... That's why certain people that come around you, they say they are friends. The Lila type of friendship, you should not play with it. Get rid of it. Praise the living God. Some friends, they come to you for you to get a hold of the secret that hold your life, that preserve your life. They want to hold on it and snatch the strength of God from you, disarm you, and make you vulnerable to them. That's Delilah's spirit. Once you suspect people like that, you resist them. You say, no, at this point in time, I cannot continue with this conversation with you. Having conversation, one of the ways the enemy will come to overcome you is by conversation. Discuss, bringing foolish conversation with you to undermine the word of God to you. And he started to listen to this guy who would have just rebuked the guy, that go away, this is against my faith. But he gave himself, and in the end, the enemy, he did not only shave his head, but point his eyes. And he lost his life ahead of time. Early. Praise the living God. So the enemy, whenever Satan comes around us, is to bring setback to us, or to destroy our lives, or to harm us. That's why believers must be very alert, and the believers must be watchful, that the enemy is moving around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we as believers, we must be watchful. And we must also use weapons that God has given unto us. One of the weapons is the word of God. The other weapon we have is prayer. We have another weapon, which is fasting. We have another weapon, which is the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. We can plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the living God. So God has given us adequate resources to fight the enemy or to protect us, to keep us secured. Sometimes, as military people, we may not go on the offensive, but we are on the defensive. Military people, they are either defensive or offensive. They go on the offensive or they are on the defensive. So that is what we must know. We use the word of God to protect ourselves, to guard our own territory, to make we will be watchful over ourselves. We are on the defensive. Sometimes we launch attack on the enemy. We see somebody who is possessed by the devil, we go and witness the word of God to the person. We are entering into the territory of the enemy. We want to win people over to Christ. Amen. Praise the living God. So we have to launch attack. Yes. We go and witness to people who we know they are in the trap of the enemy. Amen. We launch resources to people who are going out. We gather resources, we give to people, and they go out. And they win souls. Every soul that you supported somebody to win, your name will be tied around that soul in heaven. Praise the living God. So we have to go on the offensive. Sometimes we go on the offensive by prayer. Amen. This thing is happening around that you are not pleased with it. You decide to go on your knees. Hallelujah. Maybe all by yourself. Amen. In your house. The Lord has alerted in your spirit that Satan is moving around, maybe your house or somewhere at your workplace or in the community, even in the church, the enemy has entered there. So you feel led by God to go to God in prayer. Amen. You are going on the offensive. Hallelujah. To make sure that you overcome the enemy. Amen. Praise the living God. Hannah was a woman. She didn't have any position in church. Her husband too was not a priest. But she felt that she could go by in the house of God and pray. And she went on the offensive. She prayed and prayed and prayed. That was Old Testament, that she spoke in tongue. The priest came and couldn't understand what Hannah was speaking. He asked, "Are you drunk?" He said, "No, my Lord, I'm not drunk, sir. I am burdened with prayer. I'm praying." She spoke politely. You see, when somebody is led by God, even when maybe the spiritual leader speaks something that could intimidate them, you can see if somebody has the spirit of God upon how they react. Hannah did not rebuke the priest. She was doing spiritual exercise. That would mean that she had the spirit of God upon her. So if you have an arrogant spirit upon you, that you are there to rebuke your pastor or rebuke people who are in position because they embarrass you by someone or someone else, you should check that spirit upon you. That could not be the spirit of God. Because the spirit of God is respectful. The spirit of God maintains the purity of the kingdom of God. So any spirit that could promote arrogance, or that could make you to be defiled, or that make you to act weird, I don't think if that is the spirit of God, that's demon. And demons, don't say, I'm a believer. No, demon cannot come around me. Demons can come around believers. And sometimes demon can come around you. You will not know that the demon is on you. Let me give you an example. Simon Peter, after he had even got the revelation, and he said that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ congratulated him after that. He came and he rebuked Jesus Christ. And Jesus saw him, "Get thee behind me, you Satan." And he was repeatedly talking to whenever you begin to challenge an authority, you are crossing your boundary. Jesus Christ, he said, "Get thee behind me." You know, he was not talking directly to Simon Peter. You're not calling Simon Peter a Satan. But the devil was upon him at that moment. Cast the devil out of him. Praise the living God. So sometimes demons can come on you as a believer. You don't even know. Simon Peter was thinking that he was defending Jesus Christ. He was doing the right thing here and there. But he was doing something contrary to the word of God. And contrary to the plan of God. contrary to the divine will of God. And Jesus Christ discerned the devil on him and said, get thee behind me. Praise the living God. So that's why God can use the servants of God to discern the devil on you to by the word of God, and they can rebuke the devil on you so that your soul will be saved. Some people, they fight when servants of God. You can see Simon Peter, he did not swear at Jesus Christ because he rebuked him like that. That you can know that Jesus, Simon Peter is a child of God after Jesus rebuked him like that. He did not speak back and fight Jesus Christ. Look, read the scripture. After he rebuked him like that, he did not swear out Jesus Christ. He remained respectful. He was a brave brother. He can talk anywhere he has opportunity to talk, he can talk there. After they received the Holy Ghost, among all the brethren that were there, Simon Peter was the first person to speak out. He was brave. Amen. But that braveness, the devil wanted to use that gift. The devil targeted that gift too on him. Praise the living God. Jesus conquered the devil on him. Praise the living God. He was very brave, and which I like him for that. He preached, and thousands of people. He was unlearned, brother. Some people say today, well, they will check the grammar of people who are preachers. But look at this man, was a fisherman. He did not go to university. You know. But was he not the one that preached and thousands of people got saved after the upper room? He preached. When the Holy Ghost is upon a man, he's above PhD people. Praise the living God. So it's not education. Education that is not submitted to God is a trash, it's a garbage. Praise the living God. So God is above everything. Bible says that whatsoever is above, it's above all. Hallelujah. That's why we submit ourselves to a seventh grade educated person on earth here, but who manifested the revelation from above. Amen. I believe that Brother Abraham is above every preacher that has ever lived on earth here. Praise the living God. Except Christ Jesus. Praise the living God. But in human form, be it Moses, be it Abraham, wherever the prophets are. Brother Abraham, the gift that God gave to him supersedes all those prophets. So let alone you are talking about common evangelists here and there who are trying to speak arrogantly against somebody who God has vindicated like that. You are sealing your doom. Praise the living God. You are causing damnation upon yourself. And so we are saying here that, I mean, whatsoever is from above is above all. Even in your family, if God has ordained you from above, like David, who his family despised him, from above, God saw him in the shepherd field, from above. His brothers, who were very much respected by Jesse himself. You know, my son is Jesse, but Jesse made also an intellectual presentation to the prophet. And but when you know, prophets don't deal with what people think is approved by them. And that time, Jesse also he may not go wrong by scripture, that usually people, they are giving rewards to people in the family according to age. If you are the firstborn, this and that and that and that. That's how they think that if he has anything, they should give it to the firstborn and the next and the next. But this boy David, nobody respected him here and there. But from above, God had put something in him that is above all the other sons of Jesse. Praise the living God. So whatsoever is from above is above all. No matter who you human beings polish, who human beings approve, human beings may whatever, but whatsoever is from above, whether people despise these brothers themselves. That time David show up, his brother said, where have you left the sheep? Are you not supposed to be in the sheep, shepherd? But where they subjected him, they thought that they put him so that he could be backward. That's where God decided to train him there. God trained him there. Praise the living God. And so when he came, He doesn't understand what human beings can give people. He understands how God can give strength to people. God came upon him. He killed animals. He was a little boy. He has been trained here and there. So he understands. Even when God spoke to him also by himself to go and confront Goliath. Human beings were reasoning, even they insult himself and other people, all his family members, they were all scared. But God in him, with little string and stones, which were despised. Maybe those stones, people were walking around here and there. But those stones that when now they were in the hand of David, they were not ordinary stones anymore. They were supernatural stones. So when that stone was sent, even if Goliath was going to use his military skill to fly up or go down, that stone will go there, wherever it will go. Because David was no more a person that people could look at as a despised person. David was a supernatural being right there. Every action that David was doing now was led by the living God. Praise the living God. So, children of God are on warfare. David fought battle. And there was another gift that David had. The prophet taught us that David was a divine healer. When he will sing, demons will leave people. That's what sometimes in doing worship time, we have to be sensitive that we sing songs that glorify the Lord. Because during song service, demons will fly away. People who are sick, they could be healed. Praise the living God. So David will come and sing. When he's singing, demons fly. He's not like Michael Jackson when he's singing, demons possess people. But when David is singing, demons will leave people. Praise the living God. You are singing and you are dancing and you are making all like that. So you have to know that you should not promote the kingdom of hell. Satan, the devil, his objective is to promote hell. And there is a place called hell. Hebrew word for hell is Sheol. It means the grave. A Hades or Gehenna. Where the soul and body are destroyed. There is a place. Even though there is a grave, the grave also is symbolized in scripture as hell. But there is something above the grave. Where people will go there and their souls will languish and suffer. So little children, don't be deceived. Let no man tell you that there is no hell. Or it's just stories. It's fake stories. There's hell. There's heaven. Praise the living God. Brother Branham's wife, Hope, died and he went to heaven. Praise the living God. Brother Branham himself, he went beyond the curtain of time. So there is heaven. All the children of God who stay in the kingdom of God, they go to heaven. And those who are being led by demons and Satan himself or the devil, they will end up going to hell if they don't get delivered from those spirits. I'm not saying that if somebody is possessed currently by demons, that person cannot go to heaven. The person could go to heaven if they surrender their lives to Christ and get delivered from devils and his demons. So note that we have to know that we have the flesh, our flesh, which is our human nature, and we also we don't naturally perceive the spirits of demons. We know they exist by their fruits or their works. What is happening around you? What is somebody is producing as fruit or character, which you will know whether that person has the spirit of God upon him or the person has the spirit of the demons upon him, by what the person is saying. When you hang around people, what they talk about all the time, they're talking about alcohol, talking about drugs, or talking about immoral discussions, women, pornography, this and that. That's their discussion. You know, that is the demon that is tormenting that person, or is in that person. You hang around, you visit a brother, and they are discussing about the scripture, discussing about the kingdom of God, discussing about family values, discussing about the purity of God's kingdom. You know that that person is fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Brabham told us a simple way we can discern. When you visit a brother, he's playing boogie music like Michael Jackson or all kind of music around, or hanging all kind of Halloween things on around the wall, and all kind of magazines that can expose people into filthiness, hanging on the wall. You listen to what they discuss, kind of music they play, how the wife dresses, and all the rest of it. Abraham said that by that you can discern what spirit the people are fellowshipping around. That's why, as a child of, as a minister, if you, some a minister visits you, you may not talk anything, but they are seeing some things by discerning what you are you talk about all the time. All those things can discern. Praise the living God. So when you also, people come around you, even ministry, how somebody minister, if the way they teach will show what they believe. Somebody is teaching to promote hell, and the devil is trying to say that people should commit sin and they should live in sin, and then it doesn't matter, Christ has died for them, this and that issue. But that shows that that person is not totally delivered from the devil yet. Because a spirit of God will cry against sin. Somebody who is converted, we want to win souls into the kingdom of God. Becomes like a lion. Praise the living God. So we have to understand that things like that very clear. That you must discern people by the word of God. Discern devil on people by the word of God. By the works. The works that you do. Paul said that, show me your work and I'll be able to tell you the faith that you have. So by the work that you do, you can't say you have faith, but that faith cannot be accompanied by works. Praise the living God. Oh, well, I believe in God. God, Christ died for me. But you are still drunk all the time. You are in addiction. You are full of lust. You are always going after evil things. Your heart is desiring the devil. By your heart desire, you can know your genetic composition. Your heart desire. If your heart desires the world all the time, you know that you are not there yet. Don't rest. Seek deliverance. Praise the living God. But if you are desiring more of God, you are desiring the righteousness of God, even though the enemy is trying to trouble you, but you are desiring the purity of God's kingdom. Know that you are a child of God. Let the devil don't put you down because of your current situation. Keep going higher and higher. You will reach there. Praise the living God. So your heart desire also shows who you are. You have to desire God's kingdom. You have to desire righteousness. You have to desire purity. You have to desire the victory of God. They mostly affect emotions and attitudes. Demons, they affect most people, emotions. They affect us. They cause attitudes. Maybe they make you to have an attitude, and easily you become angry. You are easily upset. Anxiety, depression, all these things, they come upon you. Those are names of demons. Brabran said all those sicknesses that people call cancer, headache, flu, whatever it could be, they are names of demons. Praise the living God. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They are joy, they are kindness, they are love, they are temperance. So if we are having that kind of atmosphere around our home, we know that the Holy Ghost is around us. We can rest upon that. But in Galatians chapter 5, if you can see that the manifestations of the flesh, which are the fruits of demonic activities, if they are happening around you all the time, you should not rest. Praise the living God. You should fight it. So by the works that happen around us, you can know that if somebody has a particular problem by the emotions that they display. Scripture says that he that ruleth not his spirit is like a city that is broken into and left without walls. So if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you should have self-control. Self-control against lust. Lust of the flesh. Pride of life. Lust of the eye. You cannot be all the time in the internet looking at weird things, or you are lusting after things of this world. All the time your heart is full of how you can get riches. Even riches without genuine work. Maybe the devil will say, okay, well, you can get riches quickly. Go and join people who do drugs. Or go and join people who do prostitution. Or go and join people who do this. The devil, because your heart, if your heart is full of lusts of the things of this world, then an enemy will suggest easy way that you want to destroy your life. And once you get onto that path now, it will target you to destroy your life. When you give yourself to the devil, what he does to you to reward you is to destroy you or to hurt you at the end. But when you give yourself to God, what he will reward you with is to give you life and eternal life. He'll give you the joy of God. He'll give you the peace of God. He'll refresh your family. He will make your family to be established. Bible says, believe in God, so shall you be established. So no man can convince me that they are established if they are living in sin. Even if you are rich, you are a medical doctor, you have PhD, this and that, I know you are walking upon shallow waters. You are treading upon slippery ground. Because you and your family are destined for doom and destruction. I have one jacket, I wear it every day, but I know that I'm above you because I am on the side of God. The Spirit of God is upon me. Amen. I don't look low upon myself anyway. Praise the living God. Amen. I don't care whether you belong to the family of the richest people in the world. Right. I don't care. If your life is full of demons, you are being controlled by demonic activities or satanic activities, I don't admire you at all. That's why I don't admire people that are famous in this world, that people are admiring. Sometimes the people they call stars, they are demon possessed. Do you know that those musical stars, they call them their stars. A star is someone that being followed by others. That others follow. Praise the living God. For example, they call Beyonce, or they call Michael Jackson, even though he is there today. But people are still, the demon that was possessing that man is still lingering around today. And people are still worshipping that demon. Beyonce, she dresses naked and she dances around. People look around here and there, and people support because they say, well, she's promoting single ladies. The devil does not support people to be living in single. There's the younger people married. Who is promoting that the people women should be as singles? They should be living in feminism and be callous in that situation. That's the devil. So let the elderly women teach the younger ones how they should marry, how they should respect their husbands. Praise the living God. So today, the world university is teaching that people should not marry at all. They should resist everything that is a plan of God. They should remain as singles. I mean, if God has not blessed you yet with a partner, that one you can wait upon the Lord. But you shouldn't have a spirit upon you that despises marriage and family life. That's of the devil. That's right. Praise the living God. Because God is a family person. He started the human race with a family. The devil is the one that came to undermine family. And today even he is against family life. So whatever spirit that comes your way that is against family purity, family life, is of the devil. It's from hell. That's where you know. Praise the living God. I'm not saying that you should go and give yourself to somebody suddenly like that. You can wait upon the Lord. You can desire God and wait upon the Lord. God will send you your partner. But you should not have a resentment against the established institution of God. Amen. Praise the living God. So that's why I think Beyonce is on the devil's side. Praise the living God. So characteristics of demons, now I spoke some of them here in my note. they entice people or lure people, or they harass people. Sometimes if you spirit upon you to harass people, you know, you have enticement spirit upon you. The way you wear your clothes, you expose as a lady, you expose yourself out to people. Brother Brown said that you can't say the Holy Spirit upon you and you have a scandalous cat upon you. That's not the Holy Ghost that's telling you to do that. You should dress up yourself. Know that your body is tempting as a woman. So even as a man, you should cover yourself. You should not come out like a maniac at the Gadara. A maniac at Gadara, the devil is the only one that can strip people naked. Praise the living God and go out. So if you shall strip yourself naked and go out, don't say it's the Holy Spirit that told you to do that. We know by the word of God that the devil is the one that is promoting that. Praise the living God. So you should not be enticed people. You should not harass people. Even your family. You should not harass your family. You should not harass people. Torment people. All over your place, you are noisy, you are arrogant, you are rude, you are this. So that is not of God. That's demonic activity. That's why even when our children are growing up, we teach them how they should control their spirit. If you go out everywhere, they are harassing people. That shows that it's an enemy that is upon them. Or they have not been taught scripture yet, biblical character. You know, they torment people with sicknesses. The devil will compel people or coerce them to do something. We are children of God, we don't coerce anybody. And children of God don't coerce people. The God, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of freedom. Praise the living God. God is a God of peace. God is a God of joy. So you cannot be living with your wife. You are coercing them. Oh, you must obey me. Or you must do this, do it. No. Your Holy Ghost is gentle. Praise the living God. So you cannot be very much arrogant to people and you say, well, you have the Holy Ghost upon you. You must be gentle. Even though you are an authority, but you still you should be gentle to people. This Holy Spirit, the devil, one of the characters, another character the enemy has, Brother Brian spoke about all of this, but I summarized them in many messages. He spoke about the enticing spirit under demonology. He spoke about in the religious realm. Spoke about the maniac at Gadara. He spoke about a lot of things. Demons have been listening to those messages, so I'm able to summarize some of the main topics. Demons enslave people. It makes the people to be addictive in nature. You have addiction upon you, addicted to drugs, addicted to a particular behavior all the time. You cannot get yourself free from it. That's demon. You must seek deliverance for it. You must pray about it. You know, you must ask believers to support you. And one of the ways you can expose you can conquer the enemy is by confession. You expose the devil. Like today we are preaching, we are exposing the devil. We can be able to now have skill how to conquer the enemy. So when the enemy is exposed, it becomes powerless. So we must not be have addictive behavior. You're addicted to something. If you are suffering from addiction, it's a demonic attack on you. They defy people. They come to mess you up. They deceive people or promote lies. Somebody cannot just help him or herself. Always telling lies to people everywhere you go. You are just being deceptive in your words. In everything you are doing, you are full of lies. You can forgetfully tell lies. So that is not ordinary. It's a demonic attack on you. Don't take it ordinary. Don't take it, it's just common things. Even your children, they are always telling lies. Don't try to let them overcome that. Praise the living God. People should not rely on that. Sicknesses, slumber, being sluggard or being so lazy. Sometimes when you're so lazy and you end up getting into depression and all those kind of things, you begin to think about things that are weird and very negative. So God is hardworking. He's organized. When he created the kingdom, the earth, the Bible says, and God said, the first day, And God said, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let this happen. And he examined it. He saw that it was good. So I was teaching my family the other day. I said, even you are very disorganized at your place of work. You say, well, I'm a child of God. I have it disorganized. I say, well, let's look at the way God created the kingdom, the earth. His first day, he had days that he assigned. First of all, he has planned. How we must not be sluggard or lazy. It's the devil that teaches people that, oh, yeah, you're a believer. You should just be complacent. You should not even worry about anything. We are not worried, but we must be busy. We must be occupied. It's not worry. Praise the living God. You must be diligent. The Bible says that the hand of the diligent shall rule. Praise the living God. So we must be diligent as Christians. We must be prayerful. We must go to work to provide for our families. So that is the established truth of God's kingdom. Anything contrary to that is of the devil. The devil telling you to be sluggard, disorganized, make the place all filthy, and everybody is free to do things. No, we are not free to mess up around, or we are not even free to just drive anywhere on the road. We have limited freedom. There's some freedom that is guided by ethics is what we have. So sometimes the enemy will make people to be very sluggard, to slumber, and to be suffering from sicknesses here and there. So any sickness that comes your way is not from God. It's from the devil. Because it was after the fall that sickness entered. The devil is the founder of sicknesses. So the devil is the one that sends sicknesses upon people. God may approve your trial, but he's not the one that puts sickness upon you. God approved the trial of Job, but he's not the one that put sickness upon Job. Praise the living God. But so when Job kept the faith of God, that sickness was gone in the end. So he operates in gangs. Demons, they operate in cliques and gangs. And they also operate in witchcraft and rebellion. They are divisive in nature. Any spirit that comes to divide families, divide people who are in unity for God, try to set them apart. Bible said, whatsoever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So that is why if somebody comes around your family, you must be watchful as a husband or as a wife. Watchful. If that person tried to divide your family or trying to say something that could wreck your family, you must be watchful. You are not trying to be hostile to the person, but you have to be watchful about the devices of the enemy. Because God cannot divide families. The Spirit of God is a spirit of reconciliation. It's a spirit of forgiveness. Forgive our families. That's the Spirit of God. But somebody is coming, even if they are deacons or whatever, they say they are minister, they preach like that, they are coming to tell you that you should divorce your partner. So you know that, I don't think the Word of God told me that. Praise the living God. I know, but you say you're a pastor, you're a man of God. That's fine. But the Word of God has not told me to divorce my partner or my wife. Praise the living God. As a little child, to walk off from your parents, and say, okay, well, you can come and join us in our groups, So that is of the devil. And demons, they operate in gangs. They operate in cliques. When one demon leaves somebody, he will go and roam around and come back. If the place is empty, I am 7 more demons, and they come and feed that person, and that person's situation will be worse than the previous situation. So that is why also people who must deliver other people must make sure that they themselves are first saved and they are prayerful. Because the sons of Sceva, they went and they wanted to deliver somebody. Then the demon said, we know Paul, we know Jesus, but who are you? And the sons of Sceva, they are also sons of a religious leader. But they are not converted. So that's why even when we have our children, they are born in the church, we must make sure that we teach them scripture so that they get their conversion. Praise the living God. Sons of Sceva, they were church going boys. They went and attacked somebody. They said they are going to pray. They want to behave like Paul. Paul in the book of Acts chapter 16. The demon possessed who was a soothsayer was following them, you know, saying something about their ministry, and Paul looked at her and cast the spirit out of her. And it was that, if you read Acts chapter 16, that was the reason why Paul and Silas were cast into prison. They were sent into prison. Go read that. Because that woman was giving money to her owners. It was a soothsayer who was saying job, and then the people will bring money, and those who own that woman, and now they cannot get money from that woman anymore. They became angry. They went and said, well, this man has wrecked our economy. Sometimes people get angry at you because of economic reason. Paul did a spiritual exercise because the demon was tormenting them. Was saying something right about their ministry, that they are servants of God, but the woman was technically right of what he was saying, but spiritually wrong. So let the people don't be deceived that woman is to be followed, to be relied on. That's why Paul cast the demon out of her. And the people got angry. They cast Paul into prison. And Paul and Silas, they did not get depressed. They did not get worried about the situation. They started to praise the Lord. They started to sing praises unto the Lord. And the scripture says that God inhabits in the praises of his people. So while they were praising God, you know, God came down. And he loosed them and he freed them. The man that was there watching, when he woke up, he wanted to keep him. He said, don't. Paul said, don't hurt yourself. We are here. Praise the living God. Paul did not become arrogant. Did not swear, did not do that. So when a child of God is full of the Holy Spirit, you know how they react to situations. Embarrassments that come their way, you can know by the characteristics, by the way they respond, the way they behave, you can know that they are promoting a particular kingdom, whether they are promoting God's kingdom or the devil's kingdom. So the demons also operate in occults. For example, Masonic temple. In Africa, they have also kind of secret societies people do. And in this country, people put tattoos on their bodies here and there. In Africa, when people join secret societies, they cut their skins and mark them. They have tribal marks on their faces, all those kind of things. So there are also occultic and demonic operations. You should not play with them. So if you have joined that, when you come to the law, you have to confess it and forsake it. Because it's demonic entrance. Witchcraft activities. Today, they have Halloween and things like that. People go to school and they give them materials like that. If your children receive Halloween materials from school, when they bring it home, you should put it in the trash. You should not keep it in the home because that's an entrance of the demonic spirit. You should keep looking at it. They may perceive that in their mind and begin to get into the spirit. I would say what we see, what we hear, we don't play with it. They are the five senses. The prophet taught us. The sense of seeing, hearing, tasting, feeling. Praise the living God. So all those senses, they are almost, I was teaching my children the other day, I said, do you know that the senses that God gave us, they are around the head? Most of them, the skin is here, the ear to hear, the nose to smell, the eye, the tongue, they are also here. I said, so that's why the head controls the whole body. It's all the five senses. I said, they are here. They are at the head. So don't despise headship. Praise the living God. You know, don't despise headship. They are all around our head over here. So the demons, they enter through those five senses. And God also will let us get salvation also first stage by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And demons get into people through the five senses most of the times. What you look at, what you listen to all the time, you know, what you allow to touch your skin. Those things will give entrance. They are orifices. Our five senses are orifices through which, you know, the Spirit of God can enter us, or the spirit of the devil may enter us. So, and then we have senses of the spirit. They are reasoning, their affection, you know, memory, imagination. And those senses also, they can be affected by demons. Demons can come and enter into your memory and think that you are not good for anything. You cannot go to heaven. You cannot overcome your debt. You cannot overcome anything. You cannot live a quality life. You cannot even get married, or you cannot have anything that can earn you success in this world. We bring negative thought upon you over and over again, and you become depressed. Sometimes you even dwell into anger, and you're manifesting demonic fruits of the devil. So they may enter into the spirits, human spirits. That Satan knows human, he has studied human beings. Then the soul, the prophet taught us now, the soul, they are guided, there are two gates to the soul. There are faith and doubt. There are the two senses to the soul. Faith in the word of God will help us to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, especially in the present truth. Praise the living God. Full obedience to the word of God will entitle you to the token. Praise the living God. So faith is obedient in the word of God. Doubt in the word of God is destruction. So we may design, I wrote notes here, that we design things, spiritual things, through a conversation, how people bring conversation to us, through observation. The other day I was telling my brother James, we work together. I told him, I said, Brother James, I said, I'd like something about you. I want you to know. Whenever me and you were together, we converse about the message. And it advised me. And, you know, how that's how simplest way I know the person's spiritual life and their interest in God's word. When they discuss around the message, they discuss around the prophet, how they like. You cannot say, well, you like God, but you don't like his prophet. If you don't like Brother Abraham, I don't trust you. Praise the living God. Because the other day I told somebody, you say you love me, but it's in your heart. I don't see it in my that you like me. Even my wife, when you say she cannot love me in her heart, she has to show me by her countenance, and I come home and whatever, that she likes me too. You have to love somebody and like them too. I want both. I want to see both in you. Praise the living God. Say, okay, I love you. I also want to see the manifestation. Presently, I want to see it on you that you like me. When I come around, for me to even accept you as my friend, I have to see on you that you like me. You always have frown face. You are resentful. You are arrogant to me. You say I could become your friend. It's not going to work. Praise the living God. You have to like the prophet for you to submit to him. Praise the living God. You have to like him. Even your pastor, you should like your pastor for you to pray for him. If you despise him all the time, you are seeing how you're seeing fault on him here and there. I mean, you cannot be able to submit yourself to somebody who you don't like. Praise the living God. You have to like. So conversation area is an area of liking. Areas where you converse all the time. Through observation, we observe what you have on, your clothes, the type of clothes you wear, and the things that you hang around, you know. And we also discern spiritual things through studying the word of God. By the word of God, we'll be able to discern the enemy. Also, sometimes prophets, they discern by vision. Jesus Christ, when he was at Gethsemane, he saw vision. He saw also vision when he saw Peter. He said, when the cock crowed three times, you will deny me. They said that because of just imagining. He saw vision. Praise the living God. Brother Abraham, he had the gift of vision. In the Old Testament, there were three ways they were proving spiritual things. By prophets. The prophets will see vision. And two, by dreams. They have interpreters that were very much reliable to interpret dreams. And the third part, by Urim and Thummim. Thinks everything that you come that cannot pass the word test is not of God. Don't rely on it. Let's rise up on our feet. Anything that comes your way that doesn't pass the word test is of the devil. It's demonic. Praise the living God. No matter how eloquent it could appear or how nice, or how decent it could be, how polished it may appear, it couldn't pass the word test, don't trust it. It's of the devil. While we are standing, I'll read here the message from the Seven Church Ages. Want us to stand so you guys we be able to get rid of the sleep. Then I'll read Seven Church Ages, page 360. If you want to put it on the screen so the brothers can see it, that's fine. But I will read from this book here, page 360. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, what are we to overcome? What is the normal question to ask here? But that is not the actual thought of this verse, for it is not so much what we are to overcome, but how we are to overcome. Now, this is logical. For does it matter much what we are to overcome as long as we know how we can overcome? A quick look at those scriptures which involve the Lord Jesus overcoming will bring out the truth of this proposition. In Matthew chapter 4, wherein Jesus is tempted of the devil, he overcame the personal temptations of Satan by the word, and by the word only. In each of the three major trials that corresponded exactly to the temptation of the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, Jesus overcame by the word. Eve fell to the personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word. Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word. But Jesus overcame by the word. And right now, let me say that this is the only way to be an overcomer. Also, it is the only way that you can know if you are overcoming, because that word can't fail. Now notice again how Jesus overcame the world system of religion when he was repeatedly beggared by the theologians of his day. He constantly applied the word. He spoke only what the Father gave him to speak. There was not a time when the world was not utterly confused by his wisdom, for it was the wisdom of God. In his own personal life, contending with himself, he overcame by obedience to the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was held in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What was he obedient to? The word of God. Now then, there will not be one person who will sit in the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he has been living that word. Your prayers, your fasting, your repentances, no matter what you present to God, none of that will gain you the privilege of sitting in that throne. It will be granted only to the word bride. As the throne of the king is shared with the queen because she is united to him, so only they who are of that word, even as he is of that word, we share that throne. Praise the living God. So we know that the word of God is the greatest weapon that we have, the most accessible weapon among the other weapons which we listed, like prayer. We have, sometimes you can be in a situation, you cannot be able to pray, but you have the word of God in your heart, you can be able to overcome it right away. And then later you go and pray about it. But the word of God is the number one thing that should be with us everywhere we go. So word of God, prayer, the blood of the Lamb, you know, fasting. We must know that those weapons, we must use them to overcome demons. And we must use them to overcome Lucifer himself, the devil, who is our enemy, who is fighting against us. And he is not going to stop fighting. He will continue. He will never give up on the believers until he leaves this earth. Brother Abraham himself, the devil never gave up on him. But God finished with him first before even death could come his way. But the devil did not give up on him. So Satan is constantly after us everywhere we are. Let's know that. Let's rest upon that. And everywhere you go, be watchful and be meditating on the word of God. That is the only defense, the immediate defense that we have, the word of God. That is the greatest weapon we have, the most accessible weapon. That's what the prophet taught us that we should have. The word of God. That is our equipment. That's our weapon. Let us go to God in prayer. Our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, I present, Lord, my brothers and sisters unto you, Lord. As they listen to you, the energy that has left them, Lord, may you replenish it in Jesus' name. Father God, may your grace, Lord, give them boldness, Lord, the willingness to rest upon your word. And Lord, to apply your word during times of temptations, Lord, when the enemy will come closer to them, may they remember your word, oh Father God. May the enemy challenge them, Lord, through sicknesses, through trials and whatever way the enemy could come their way. Lord, may you grant them, Lord, the assurance of the word of God, that we should rely on the word of God to overcome. Father, we thank you, Father. May we carry this hope as we go to our homes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Him and enjoyed that what the Lord has spoken through him. Amen. I can attest to what he's saying. In my normal job, I see people who are anointed by a demon fighting with another who's anointed by a demon, and then the police officer shows up, and sometimes he's anointed by a demon, and they all get in a big fight. But you know, when I come, if I can get there before the other officer, the Holy Spirit has dominion over them. And they'll calm down and everybody will be relaxed. And so I won't have to fill out more paperwork. Amen. But I've seen it in true life, what he's talking about. And that is the Holy Spirit in you has power and dominion over everyone else. And no matter how angry they are. So you can use it too. You don't need to be in my line of duty. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you try that song, Bless the Lord? Oh, my soul, he read that scripture in the beginning. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For he has done great things, hallelujah, he has done great things, praise his name. He has done great things, bless his holy name. I'm singing, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. now bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within.